I want you to open your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 10. Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 10. We come to the final description Jesus gives to a large crowd of thousands of people who have gathered around Him after He's chosen His 12 apostles. And He comes down from that mountain, and there the Bible says, we read earlier in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, that thousands of people were running. Some of them were actually trying to touch Jesus because power was going out of His body. And as these thousands of people were gathered around Jesus, the Bible says Jesus lifted up His eyes and He looked in the direction of His disciples, those who truly followed Him. And He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then He goes on to describe, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." The word "blessed" again is a word which means that in the ancient times they would describe to the ancient Greek gods, the happiest beings in the universe, the ones who are in the most favorable position. That's the word "blessing." It's you people, you that are poor in spirit and that mourn and that are humble and that hunger and thirst in your heart for righteousness and are merciful and are pure in your heart and are peacemakers. And now this morning He comes to the final description, which He says to all those people that were gathered there and to all of us. "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word "persecuted" means you have been harassed. You have been mistreated for the sake of righteousness. Someone said it is no accident that Jesus should pass from peacemaking to persecution, for the world enjoys its cherished hates and prejudices so much that the peacemaker is not always welcome. Opposition is a normal mark of being a disciple of Jesus, as normal as hungering for righteousness or being merciful. If you turn over five chapters of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24, by the way, I think we have some extra Bibles. If anyone would like a Bible, check on that on the over there, John. There might be some Bibles laying there. If you need a Bible, yeah, I think we do have some extras here we give out. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24. See what Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 24. "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul," which they had called Jesus. These religious people had called Him another name for Satan. "If they have called Him this, how much more will they malign the members of His household?" Remember we said last week, the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." They're just like their dad. Well, He closes out His descriptions of true disciples and says, "Blessed are those of you who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness," because that's exactly what's happening and will happen to me. I want to pause real quick to say again, we do have some Bibles here. If anyone would like a Bible, John has, just raise your hand. You can have them as a gift. We give them out every single Sunday. If you'd like it, raise your hand. If not, that's fine. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, "Indeed, everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, "Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you." One of the most moving accounts to me in the Scriptures is found in the Epistle of Hebrews chapter 11. If you'd save your place in Matthew chapter 5 and go back to Hebrews towards the end of the New Testament, very close to the end. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment." By the way, I want to pause to say this. The Epistle of Hebrews is written in the middle to late AD 60s, between 65 and 70 AD. So there's no doubt that in writing, the writer of the Epistle of Hebrews is not only including those who were martyred in the Old Testament, but those who have been martyred already in the first century. We know by this time at least four of the apostles have already been martyred: Philip, James, Matthew, and Peter. By the time this have already been martyred. Verse 37 says, "They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins." By the way, I was reading last night in Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is an account of all the martyrs from the first century of Christianity until about the 1600s. And they describe some of what happened to some of the Christians under the early Roman emperors. They describe one guy. They said they sewed his body up in animal skins. This is about 200 AD. And inside those animal skins were serpents and scorpions. And they threw him in those skins with those serpents and scorpions in the ocean. And you can read the accounts of just incredible tortures that happened to followers of Jesus. "Being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Do you know that 10 out of the 12 apostles that day who heard Jesus say this were going to die that kind of death? Why will you be hated? If you are a follower of Jesus, why? Well, I want you to go to John chapter 15, and Jesus tells you why. John chapter 15 in verse 8. John 15 in verse 8. Verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." The reason why Christians will be persecuted is because the world hates Jesus and they hate His gospel. That's why. In a very small way, our church has already experienced some persecution. for a couple times now when our church first started, we tried. There is a Down City website here which lists all the events going on in Down City. When our church launched in January, I spoke to the person who runs this website, and they assured me they were going to announce this event on their website, because I get this email, thousands of people do all downtown. And right about time when they were supposed to do this, I get an email back from the person that says, well, you know, we really just don't want to emphasize any one religious group. But I said, think about that for a second. There are all these kind of churches down here. You're not telling everyone you have to go to this church. You're simply announcing that, well, you know, we don't do that. Well, even now recently, we've asked again, would they please post this Financial Peace University, which they said they're going to do? They don't do it. They don't do it. Why? I've put up posters in different places downtown. People go and take them down. What? Why does that bother you? That's small compared to what happens in other places. But why is it that it happens? Scripture says they hate Jesus and they hate His gospel. And why do they hate Jesus? Because if He had not come, they would not have known sin. And why else does the Bible say that you will be hated if you follow Jesus? Turn to the book of 1 Peter. To the very back, close right after Hebrews. Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." You know why else people don't like Christians? Because you don't sin with them anymore. And that makes them mad. You always used to go with us out on Friday nights and Saturday nights and do this and live this kind of way. And now you don't run with this anymore. And the Bible says they malign you for it. This is why Christians are persecuted around the world. Because people hate Jesus and they hate the gospel. And they also don't like it that their old friends who used to run with them, don't run with them anymore. And that makes them mad. This is why sometimes, I remember when I was first came back from college, my freshman year, I worked at a jewelry factory. And these guys, every single day, I mean, my job was, I was just on an assembly line, basically. I'm going through all these, pulling out these things, and there was a bunch of guys inside there. And it made them so mad that I would not swear. I wouldn't do other things they wanted me to do. And these guys, I mean, it was like a big challenge every day to try to get me. Come on, man. I remember one time I was going through doing my job. A guy came up behind me with a pornographic magazine and squeezed it over my face. Look at it, he said. I remember the very first job I had, I was 16 years old, worked at a nursing home in the kitchen. And it was funny, my first time ever working out with a bunch of people who didn't know Jesus. I grew up in a Christian family, been a paper boy. And there were two girls in there, man, and every single day they would mock me and rip me to shreds. And I remember I'd go home crying, man, it hurt. Why? Because you're different. I don't like that. And you may find that yourself. When you go to your job now or when you go to your school. But how are we to respond? How is it that we're to respond to persecution? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Go ahead back two chapters from where we are. 1 Peter chapter 2. What does the Scripture say? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. I mean, Jesus did nothing for anyone ever to be mad at Him. And while being reviled, while being verbally assaulted, and given abusive speech, the idea of the word revile, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threat. You get your hands off me, man, I'll strike you, which He easily could do. But kept entrusting Himself to the One who judges righteously. You know, there is no greater manifestation that you're a disciple of Jesus than this description right here. How you handle persecution. Can you imagine? I was thinking about this last night. Can you imagine those guys when they blindfolded Jesus and some of them were taking him with the open hand and they're smacking him in the face? The one of the very second Jesus has given him breath and the blood going through his veins and he's punching Jesus in the face. And the Bible says Jesus offered no threats. The Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That means you literally pray, God, would you show your favor to this person instead of saying to this person, God, curse them. The Bible says, and this is unbelievable, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as it is, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, Romans 12 verse 19 says. But leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And listen to the next verse. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. This is an expression from the Old Testament which indicates one of two things. By heaping burning coals on his head, by your act of kindness, you're going to reduce him to shame and humility. Or if he refuses to repent for his persecution of you, you are heaping future judgment on his head. I asked Oki if he would not mind me telling you guys. He told me this the other day. And he was so thankful that God spared him. He said one time when he was an early adult, him and his dad were in a bar in Massachusetts. His dad had been out cold, drunk at the bar, woke up, saw his son sitting right next to him, and punched him right in the face. Oki said it knocked him over. All these guys were there and started laughing. You know, he said he got up and he went over to his dad and he told me the day, he said, I'm so glad I didn't strike my dad. But he said to his dad, you just sucker punched your son in the face and you have to own that. And I could imagine the rest of his dad's life to have to think about what he did. This is an incredibly Christ-like thing when you are persecuted, you do not respond in the same way. Let me tell you something. This is not easy. The other night I woke up, I was having a dream. This is this week. I had a dream that someone was picking on one of my brothers. I mean, like being mean to him. I was dreaming this. I woke up mad. And in my dream, I was going to take care of that. You get your hands off him, man. Wow. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and you don't respond the way they do. But you know, someone may say, well, yeah, but what do you mean? Does that mean we just let people destroy, burn our house down? Well, no, the scripture says God has provided government to mete out his wrath. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 13, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do that which is good, and you will have praise of the same. For they are the ministers of God for good. But to the one who does evil, be afraid. Because they do not bear the sword for nothing. They are the ministers of God for good, the avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. God has ordained people, and their task is to bring wrath and judgment. But not me. Can you guys see how this would be an incredible, you would stand in such incredible contrast to the world around you when you are being reviled and you don't revile in return? When someone abuses you and mistreats you and instead you respond with kindness and you feed them, and you get, would that stand in incredible contrast? Absolutely. Because people are expecting. That's what happens. That's why you have some of these countries, their tribes have been fighting for years because they have to pay everybody back. You did this to us 900 years ago, and we're going to do it back to you. And we're going to kidnap you, and we're going to kidnap you, and we're going to rape you, and we're going to rape you. Here we go. Jesus' disciples are different. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. But even if you suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. We're answering the question again, how do you respond when you're being persecuted? Here's what the Bible says. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And we know, by the way, when 1 Peter, again, this is a martyr. And when this is written, Christians are dying. And by the way, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or there's another book called By Their Blood, which is an account of all the 20th century Christians who were martyred. And by the way, do you know they have said that in the 20th century alone, there were more martyrs than there was in the entire first 19 centuries? And Peter says, the scripture says, when you're in that place, be ready to give a reason for why you have such hope. When you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read about some of these Christians who before, when they were brought up to the stake to be burned, and they would ask them, why are you? And they would tell them. And keep a good conscience, verse 16, so that in the things in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The greatest example of how to handle persecution is Jesus himself. And I started thinking about this yesterday. Think about how Jesus responded to the gentleness and the mercy. Look at chapter 4 and verse 12 of 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godly man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. That's how God wants us to respond. Jesus, you see what's happening. I am being persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And God says, what I want you to do is, you do not seek to get revenge. You leave revenge to God. And what you do is commit the case to Him. Jesus says, blessed are those people, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now I want to ask you this morning, is there someone in your life who has persecuted you in the past, and to this day you do not speak to them? This day you avoid them. If you can do them wrong, you will. Today, will you be a follower of Jesus and repent of your bitterness and start doing them good? Maybe there's someone right now who is persecuting you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And you respond like Jesus. I want you to go back to Matthew 5, verse 11. He describes it a little further and says in verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And this is where, again, where we need God's grace. There have been times we've been standing out on Tuesday. I've had a couple times someone come by, you know, and take one of our flyers and ha 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 laugh right away. And the natural person to me, I don't like that. I don't like someone making me look like I'm an idiot. Jesus says, blessed are you. Rejoice, verse 12, and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Look at Luke chapter 6, the parallel passage in verse 22. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. He says this way, blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you. The word ostracize means they exclude you. You're not invited to sit at their table. You're not going to be invited to go because you're different, man. And they don't like you around. And so you're not cool. You're ostracized. You're excluded. Blessed are you. And they insult you. And they scorn your name as evil, for the sake of the Son of Man. I told you a second ago, no one likes to be made to feel like an idiot. That's why you have road rage. People don't like it. You get in the car and someone makes it like, man, that makes me mad. I remember one time I was a youth pastor. I'm on my way to a youth activity, okay? We're going to have a great time tonight in this youth activity. And I go to pull out on the road and this guy pulls out right in front of me. And in the back of the mirror, he's making all these motions. And my first response was, I'm pointing at him. And I think, wait a minute, I'm on my way to youth activity. Or, come on. And I get in a brawl on the way to, it's crazy. Yeah. And I say, wow, you know, because that is our natural tendency. But the disciples of Jesus, there's an entirely different way. Blessed are you when this happens. He says in verse 23, be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Scripture says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And why are they so blessed? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And not only is it the kingdom of heaven, their reward in heaven is going to be great. I was reading, Gene's been giving me the magazine of the Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know if you guys ever heard this Christian organization called Voice of the Martyrs. And right now, all around the world, they're ministering in Pakistan and Nepal and Burma, China, Vietnam, where Christians are being martyred today, Iran. And I was reading there, the last issue, and they were just in Pakistan, apparently earlier this year, some of the Voice of the Martyrs representatives and missionaries, and they were there, and they were meeting with some Pakistani Christians. And the guy said after one of their meetings one night, one of the Christian rickshaw drivers was driving home some of the Christians who came to that meeting. And on his way home, a band of Muslim guys stopped that rickshaw, got him out, and knocked the teeth out of his mouth. And they said that that night, when that guy who was driving that rickshaw, pulling that rickshaw, when his mother heard, she dropped dead of a heart attack that night. Very next day, the guy from the Voice of Martyrs said they met with all those Pakistani Christians. And he read to them something from the book of Revelation. And I want you guys to turn here, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And where have they come from? I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more. Nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. You know, today there we have brothers and sisters around the world who are wandering around and on the run, who are in prison, who are being martyred. And the Scripture says that we are to remember those who are in prison as though we were in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, knowing that we also are in the body. The man who founded Voice of the Martyrs was named Richard Wurmbrand. This man lived for most of the 20th century. This guy spent, during when the Soviet Union occupied the country of Romania, he spent 14 years in a communist prison. And I want you to listen to what he said. Wurmbrand wrote this: one of the greatest problems for an underground fighter is to know how to fill up his solitude. He's talking about when he got thrown in jail. We had absolutely no books, not only no Bible, but no books, no scrap of paper and no pencil. We never heard a noise. And there was absolutely nothing to distract our attention. We looked at the walls, that was all. Now normally a mind under such circumstances becomes mad. I can tell you from my own experience how I avoided becoming mad, but this again has to be prepared by a life of spiritual exercise beforehand, Wurmbrand wrote. I and many other prisoners did it like this. We never slept during the night. We slept during the day. The whole night we were awake. The demonic forces are forces of the night, and therefore it is so important to oppose them during the night. Vigils are very important. In the free world, vigils are largely unknown. In my country, even before the communist takeover, we had vigils. Those where they stay all night. In solitary confinement, we awoke when the other prisoners went to bed. We filled our time with a program that was so heavy we could not fulfill it. We started with a prayer in which we traveled through the whole world. We prayed for each country, for where we knew the names of towns and men, and we prayed for great preachers. It took a good hour or two to come back. We prayed for pilots and for those on the sea and for those who were in prisons. The Bible tells us about one of the great joys we can have, even in a prison cell. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And Wormbrand wrote, I rejoice that there were families somewhere who were gathered with their children, who were reading the Bible together, who were telling jokes and were so happy with each other. Somewhere there was a boy who loved a young girl and dated her. I could be happy about them. There they had a prayer meeting. There was someone who studied, and there was someone who was enjoying good food. We could rejoice with those who rejoiced. After having traveled to the whole world, I read the Bible from memory. To memorize the Bible is very important for an underground worker, and he goes on. And today we have brothers and sisters who are in such a place. The Scripture says, blessed are those who persevere under trial, for once they have been approved, they will receive the crown of life. Who are the most blessed people of all human beings? They are the poor in spirit. They are those that mourn. They are the gentle. They are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are the merciful. They are the pure in heart. They are the peacemakers. And they are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And why are they the happiest people on earth? You know why? Because they are just like Jesus. And so, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called sons of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and their reward will be great. They are blessed, 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 blessed. And if this is your position, rejoice and pursue it. And if this is not your position, believe in Jesus. How blessed are the true disciples of Jesus. Let's pray. As we go to prayer this morning, I just want to say, if there are any of you here, you say, boy, I hear the description of a true disciple, and I need my heart to be changed. There's only one person who can change your heart. His name is Jesus. Turn from your sin and believe in Him, and He will save you. The Scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we just bow before You now, and I thank You so much for making disciples out of people like us. I look at my own heart, Lord, and I look at the lives of those that You're building this church with, and I see how You are doing exactly what You said You would do. You are making us poor in spirit and mourning for sin and humble and hungering for righteousness and merciful and pure in heart and peacemakers and those who are able to take persecution for the sake of righteousness with a spirit that pleases You. I thank You for that, Lord, and I pray that You would help us as our Lord and as we follow You, that we will pursue these descriptions in our life. Thank You for blessing us this way. We can't wait to see You. Amen.